Good morning. Welcome everyone to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're here to worship the Lord with us. We want to give a special welcome to visitors, to family and friends that have joined us today. We're glad to have you with us, and we hope that you also will be blessed as we hear from God and worship God together. This morning, as we get started, I've got just a few announcements to make for next week. Maybe you've already seen these in the bulletin. First, next week, as part of our worship service, we will be celebrating communion. And the special communion offering is for the Christian Needs Center. Also then, next week, after our morning service, we'll be having a special dinner. And after the dinner, then we're going to have a special service at 1:30. And that's going to be for my official installation here as minister at Calvin CRC. So you can stick around after the worship service next week. We'll have some dinner and some fellowship, and then we'll have more worship together. And our friend Reverend Nate Caparis from Ireton CRC will be leading our afternoon service. So that's what's coming next week. This morning we gather because God has called us to worship Him. We hear His call this morning from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. People of God, let's rise and join together in singing, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Brothers and sisters, our God greets us this morning, saying, Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As God has greeted us, let's take some time to greet one another.
Good morning. may be seated. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Trusting God's promise, let's confess our sins together in prayer. This morning we've got a responsive prayer for our prayer of confession. You can follow along on the screen or in the bulletins. Let's pray together. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask for your mercy. We have not loved you with our whole being. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not acted justly, loved mercy, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. And so, Jesus now calls us once again to live for him. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing once again. We'll sing Jesus Loves Me, and please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Thank you.
As we begin a new year of Sunday school, let's join together in a little litany to dedicate our education leaders. That's on an insert in the bulletin, and once again, that'll be up on the screen. Our faith is nurtured in community as we learn and worship together. Today, we celebrate a new church school season as children, youth, adults begin attending Sunday school and other activities. We ask God to prepare our hearts to study the Bible and the creeds and confessions of the church. We commission our teachers and leaders for their ministry. We invite God's Spirit to lead us forward on this journey of faith, transforming each of us into the likeness of Christ. As we begin this new season of learning, we turn our hearts to you, Lord. Lead us to explore the depths of your love, to stand in awe of your wonders, to delight in your promises, to experience your forgiveness, to grow in love for one another, to discover our gifts, and to serve you faithfully. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Let us keep on looking to Jesus. He is the one who started this journey of faith, and he is the one who completes the journey of faith. We want to reach out and touch him and to say that we love him. In fact, here is what it means to love God. We love him by obeying his commands. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never die. No one will steal them out of my hand." Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. No one's ears have ever heard of a God like you. No one's eyes have ever seen a God who is greater than you. No God but you acts for the good of those who trust in him. Lead us this year to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As followers of Christ, we are lifelong learners, called to make disciples. Some are gifted by the Spirit to serve as teachers and leaders, nurturing the faith of others. So this year's teachers and leaders, we ask you now to rise. We now commission you for the ministry of faith nurture. God has called you. Trust God to equip you for this task. Seek to remain in Christ by depending on his grace and cultivating your relationship with God through times of prayer, Bible study, and worship. Strive to teach the Word of God with passion and joy, to live the lessons you share, and to grow in faith as you serve. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, you are the source of life and the giver of faith. Thank you for calling these servants of yours to strengthen the faith of others. Please lead them to depend on your grace, to walk in step with your Spirit, and to seek wisdom for the journey. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Teachers, you may be seated. Thank you. Part of our privilege as God's people is the ability to come before him with our praises and thanks, and also with our requests and concerns. So this week, as we join together in our time of prayer, we're going to use Psalm 13 as a model and an outline for us to follow. Let's join together in prayer. How long, Lord, will you forget us forever? How long will you hide your face from us? How long must we wrestle with our thoughts and day after day have sorrow in our hearts? How long will our enemy triumph over us? Lord, it's clear to us that our world and our lives are not the way that they should be. We experience much pain and sorrow and grief. Here, as we've just come through the anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks, we lament the violence and fear that are spread in your world. We remember the feelings of hopelessness and wondering that we experienced 20 years ago. We know that these feelings still continue in many ways today. Lord, why must your children live in fear? Why must senseless violence hurt your world and your people? Why must so many go in need? How must so many live in constant terror and wonder? Look on us and answer us, Lord our God. Give light to our eyes, or we will sleep in death. And our enemy will say, I have overcome them. And our foes will rejoice when we fall. Lord, give us courage to look to you. Be near and dear to us in times of doubt and fear and pain and fear. Lord, we pray for those who are going through specific challenges with their physical health and their mental health. We ask that you would bring healing, that you would show your love and presence clearly. Lord, we pray for those who live in need, who don't know how they'll pay their bills, who aren't sure where their next meal will come from. We pray that you would provide in clear and powerful ways. Lord, we pray for those who are lonely, those who are shut in their homes, those who are in care facilities cut off from their families. We pray that you would bring them comfort. Lord, we pray for all those who work to bring safety and peace and well-being to our communities. We think of police officers and firefighters and emergency responders. We think of soldiers and peacekeepers around the world. We pray that you would keep them safe, that you would bless their efforts. Lord, we pray that you would use us in our daily work to be witnesses to you, that you would help us to work for your glory. But we trust in your unfailing love. Our hearts rejoice in your salvation. We will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come here and worship you and hear from you. Lord, we thank you that you never forget your promises to us, that you give us strength for each new day, that you place us in community, giving us friends and family to walk with us and support us. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which we've seen you at work in our lives, bringing healing, bringing comfort, helping us to grow in faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that you have offered us through him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. As part of our worship, we have the opportunity to give back to God with the giving of our offerings and support of the ministries of our church. So as we worship God by giving thanks in this way, we'll also have some music. We'll sing Word of God Speak.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the fight is over. Last thing I
time for our children's message. So I invite all our kids to come forward and join me up front, and we'll talk for a little while. I think we got one more coming. That's all right. Well, good morning. How are you guys this morning? Okay. All right. Good. So I'd like to tell you a little story, our Bible story for this morning. So in our Bible story, a man named Jonah goes to a big city called Nineveh. Now, the people of Nineveh are not nice people. They're the kind of people that do lots of things to hurt other people. They even kill other people, and they're just not very nice. They're not the kind of people you want to be around. And so Jonah goes to these people, and he says, listen up. God is not happy with the things that you're doing. So in 40 days, God is going to destroy the whole city. And the people of Nineveh, they realize all the bad things that they've been doing. And they pray to God, and they say, God, please don't punish us this way. We're sorry for these wrong things that we've been doing, and we're gonna stop doing these things that we shouldn't do. What do you think God does when the people say that? Do you think he still goes and punishes them, or do you think he doesn't? He doesn't punish them. He gives them a second chance. He says, I'm not going to punish you right now. I'm going to let you continue on. I'll give you another chance to live for me. Now, do you ever do anything that you're not supposed to do? No. I do. I do things I'm not supposed to do. Sometimes maybe we say something that's not true, or sometimes we... You know, maybe you have a little brother. Maybe you push your little brother because he's kind of annoying. Yeah, I used to do that to my sister all the time. I don't do it so much now that we're bigger. Sometimes I still want to, though. And we do things that we shouldn't do. And we deserve to be punished for that. But God doesn't punish us when we trust in Jesus. When we trust in Jesus, God says, Jesus takes the punishment for us, and God forgives us. And God says, I want to help you stop doing these things that are bad. And so we don't deserve to have God be so nice to us, but God is, because God loves us, and God wants to help us become the people he wants us to be. And so God says, I forgive you. I love you. I want you to live for me. So we're going to talk about that with our sermon today. Thanks for coming forward, guys. You can go back to your seats. So we are going through the book of Jonah together. This is our third week in Jonah. We're looking at Jonah chapter 3. And we're seeing now how Jonah comes to Nineveh and what happens in response to his coming. And how God acts and shows himself to be a merciful and patient God. Now, before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Enable us to respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning is Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. That's the whole chapter. That'll be up on the screen. If you'd like to follow along in your own Bible, again, That's Jonah 3, and we'll read the whole chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord. Jonah braces himself when he first sees Nineveh off in the distance. Jonah still can hardly believe that he's going to proclaim the word of the Lord in Nineveh. Nineveh, a city that's not part of God's people. A city that's instead home to thousands of God's people's enemies. A city that has built a reputation for wickedness and cruelty. Nineveh is an important city in the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians don't just fight battles. They devastate their enemies with torture and psychological warfare. The Assyrians will proudly display the corpses of defeated soldiers. They'll burn people alive. They'll cut off hands or noses or ears or gouge out the eyes of prisoners. Just hearing the name Nineveh is enough to fill people with fear and hatred. The people of Nineveh don't know or worship the Lord. Like the other nations around God's people, the people of Nineveh worship a whole variety of false gods. And yet, the Lord has made it abundantly clear that he wants Jonah to proclaim God's message to the people of Nineveh. When Jonah first received God's command, he tried to run the opposite direction, boarding a ship to try to flee from this task that God was giving him. But the Lord was still in control. He sent a huge storm that stopped the ship's progress. In fact, it nearly destroyed the ship itself. Then Jonah told the sailors to throw him overboard so that God would calm the sea down. Jonah was sure that he was going to drown as he sank into the sea. But the Lord had other plans. Despite Jonah's disobedience, the Lord graciously saved Jonah's life, sending a huge fish to swallow Jonah and safely bring him back to shore. And then God started all over again. Jonah, go at once to the great city of Nineveh. Proclaim the message that I give you. having witnessed the Lord's inescapable authority, having received God's undeserved mercy, now Jonah is ready to obey. So Jonah comes to the large and important city of Nineveh. Preaching God's word here will not be a quick task. It takes 3 days to get through the city of Nineveh, to meet with the proper officials, to visit all of the various neighborhoods. So Jonah embarks on his preaching tour as soon as he can, declaring the Lord's message. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown, Jonah warns. Even if the people of Nineveh don't know the Lord, they answer to him, for he is the only true God, the one who holds authority over the whole earth. And the Lord knows all about Nineveh's reputation and wickedness. Through Jonah, God is making it clear that Nineveh deserves judgment. Nineveh is not alone in deserving judgment. I doubt it would take any of us very long to come up with a list of a couple dozen individuals or groups of people that we think deserve judgment, that they at least deserve to face some consequences for their selfish, hurtful, wrong behavior. Maybe we'd think of bullies who constantly belittle others that aren't as strong or aggressive as they are. Or we might think of those who walk around with this air of entitlement, demanding their way and complaining loudly whenever their standards aren't met. Or we might jump past these people that might seem like more everyday jerks and think about the people we might be tempted to call monsters, sexual predators who take advantage of children, or serial killers who stalk and torment their targets. Tas Saada was the type of man who wanted others to suffer. Tas is a Palestinian. He grew up in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and his family had originally come from territory that ended up becoming part of the modern-day nation of Israel. And so because of that, Tas hated the Jews. And he hated Christians, too, because he thought that Arab Christians acted as spies on Israel's behalf. As a young man, Tas decided that he was going to join a violent military group so that he could learn to fight against his enemies. Tas's father tried to hold him back and stop him, but Tas went and signed up anyway. He trained as a sniper. He began to participate in guerrilla activities and attacks. Sometimes he'd blow up or shoot up a building. He says he's unsure how many people he might have injured or killed in doing all this. Eventually, Tas's disapproving parents convinced him to come home. They forced him to go back to school. But Tas says, "I wasn't happy at all, and my heart was filled with rage. I hated the whole world." He got himself into ever-increasing trouble until one day he shot one of his teachers, obviously got kicked out of school, and his parents sent him out of the country. Tas decided that eventually he'd come to the United States. He hoped that by continuing his education here, he'd be better prepared for his fight. Now, hearing a story of a violent person like Tas might make us think that we are just not so bad. But the truth is, we deserve God's judgment too. We're absolutely deserving of God's punishment. Every single one of us is a sinner. We have hatred and envy in our hearts. We twist the truth and take advantage of other people. We ignore God so we can serve ourselves. Our own sins might not seem so obvious or serious to us, but they break God's laws. The roots of things like idol worship and murder and adultery are in all of us, even if our actions don't go as far as others. The thing is, we're not measured by our standard, but by God's perfect standard, a standard that each of us falls far, far short of. God sees our hearts. He knows our sinfulness. We deserve judgment. When the people of Nineveh hear God's message of judgment, they repent, turning away from their wickedness. The Lord works powerfully through his words that he's given to Jonah. He touches the hearts of the people of Nineveh. God leads them to recognize their own sins and understand the consequences that those sins deserve. Against any human expectation, the people of Nineveh believe God's message through Jonah. Even before the prophet has finished his preaching tour, changes start sweeping through the city. Filled with guilt, the people of Nineveh mourn over their wicked actions. They stop eating. They dress themselves in rough, itchy sackcloth, trying to demonstrate just how sincere they are in feeling sorry for all their wrongdoing. All across the city, women and men, young and old, rich and poor, turn their lives upside down in response to God's message. The everyday people start leading the way, and before long, even the king himself has joined in. Submitting to the Lord, the king leaves his royal throne, and he humbles himself. He removes his royal robes, he puts on sackcloth, he sits down in the dust. Don't let anyone, not one person, not even an animal, taste anything, neither food nor water, urges the king. Put sackcloth on every person, even every animal. We need to take drastic action, and not just externally, but internally as well. Everybody should urgently cry out to God for mercy. Each one of us must turn away from our evil deeds and from our harmful behaviors. Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind and turn away from his fierce anger. We don't deserve it, but maybe God will show us mercy so that we won't all die. This response by the people of Nineveh is simply incredible. Lifelong followers of the Lord couldn't have responded any better. And the fact that these unbelievers are so willing to just take God at his word is astonishing, especially since the Lord's own people ignore God's prophets again and again and again. The only way this can possibly make sense is that God is moving among the people of Nineveh. He's stirring their hearts to turn away from their evil ways. The king's theology here is spot on, too. While the people sorrow, their commitment to turn away from evil doing, that's absolutely right. That's a necessary companion to believing in God. That doesn't make up for all their past actions. It doesn't earn them God's favor or forgiveness. All those terrible things still happened. So showing mercy is completely the Lord's decision. He's under no obligations to do anything for the people. But the Lord loves to show mercy. God, in fact, just showed Jonah mercy by rescuing him from drowning. Seeing these people's change of heart, God relents. He doesn't send the judgment that he threatened. Just like Jonah, Nineveh gets a second chance. In grace, the Lord spares Nineveh. God continues today to show his grace by sparing people, even the most unexpected and unlikely people, from judgment. First, I think it's worth noticing how God shows people grace by warning us, by giving us time and chance after chance to turn away from our sins, to turn to him. God doesn't just strike everyone dead as soon as we first do wrong. Otherwise, we'd all have been dead long ago. But God patiently continues to speak his word through the Bible, through his people, not just preachers, but through everyone who believes in him, so represents God to others. Second, and much more importantly, God shows us his grace by calling people to turn away from their sins and saving us from judgment through Christ Jesus. Throughout his ministry on earth, Jesus called all people to repent of their sins and follow him. And Jesus is able to bring forgiveness to anyone, to everyone who believes in him. That's because Jesus, as God the Son, mercifully took all the judgment deserved by all of his people in his death on the cross. His resurrection proves that he has taken all of that judgment away forever. Jesus can save anyone from the death and destruction our sins deserve. Jesus calls his people to him in mercy. And Christ Jesus to this day continues to save all sorts of people, even those we might think are the most unlikely, the most undeserving of all. In the United States, Tas Saada got a job waiting tables, and through that he met a man named Charlie. As Tas worked his way up in the restaurant over the years, he encountered Charlie over and over again, and slowly he built a relationship with him. One day, Tas was confiding in Charlie about some fears that he'd been experiencing. And Charlie started telling Tas about God, about how God could help him through and overcome his fears. Before long, Charlie was reading scripture with Tas, and God reached into Tas's heart, convincing him that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God, that Tas needed Jesus as his Savior and his Lord. Jesus helped Tas recognize his sins, helped him see the judgment that he deserved. But Christ also offered undeserved forgiveness. Christ provided help to help Tas turn away from those sins and turn to God in new living. Influenced, inspired, empowered by Christ Jesus, Tas started to love people that he once hated. Transformed by God's grace, Tas started ministries back in the Middle East that worked to spread the good news, both to Jews and also to his former fellow Muslims, showing them the good news of Jesus and providing for their physical needs as well. Tas says, "I was not really looking for Christ or Christianity, but his grace found me, and I am so grateful for his grace." God's grace saved Tas. God's grace made him new. People of God, only God and only His grace can save us too. In grace, God calls and leads us to turn away from our sins to Him. In grace, God forgives our sins through Jesus. We don't deserve this. We could never deserve this. But that actually gives us greater security. Our salvation doesn't depend on us. It depends on Jesus' already complete and perfect work. In just a few moments, we're going to witness a baptism. And baptism reminds us of this grace, pointing us to how Jesus removes all of our sins, like water washing dirt away. Baptizing a young and helpless baby reminds us that we are helpless without God's grace. Baptism reminds us of Jesus marking us as His own, calling and helping us to continually turn from our sins to Him, drowning our old sinful selves, raising our new Christ-like selves to new life through His power. Brothers and sisters, we deserve judgment, but our God loves to show mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, we are sinners. We all have evil ways and harmful behaviors. We deserve your judgment. So thank you for warning us, calling us to repent, to turn from our sins to you. Thank you for your mercy in sending Jesus to pay for his people's sins and bring us undeserved forgiveness. Help us more and more to leave our sins behind and live like Christ in gratitude for your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now that we have heard God's word, it's good to remind ourselves of what we believe and proclaim our faith together. Today we're going to use some words from the Canons of Dort, third and fourth main point of doctrine, Article 15. Let's join together in reading and proclaiming what we believe. God does not owe this grace to anyone. For what could God owe to those who have nothing to give that can be paid back? Indeed, what could God owe to those who have nothing of their own to give but sin and falsehood? Therefore, those who receive this grace owe and give eternal thanks to God alone. Let's thankfully sing to God, rising and singing together, Your Grace is Enough.
You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, in baptism, God seals the promises he gave when he made his covenant with us, calling us and our children to put our trust for life and death in Christ, our Savior. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him in obedience and love. God graciously includes our children in this covenant, and all his promises are for them, as well as for us. Jesus himself embraced little children and blessed them. And the Apostle Paul said that the children of believers are holy. So just as children of the Old Covenant received the sign of circumcision, our children are given the sign of baptism. We are therefore always to teach our little ones that they have been set apart by baptism as God's own children. Hear also these words from Holy Scripture. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is the sign and seal of God's promises to his covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and cleanse us, and to resurrect us to eternal life. This promise is made visible in the water of baptism. Water cleanses, purifies, refreshes, sustains. Jesus Christ is living water. Through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience, to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life. Yet, when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin. For baptism is the sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us. Brian and Michonne, I invite you guys to come forward. Brian and Michonne, since you have presented Decker Brian for baptism, we ask you the following questions before God and his people. Beloved of God, I ask you before God and Christ's church to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world? Who is your Lord and Savior? Will you be a faithful member of this congregation? And through worship and service, seek to advance God's purposes here and throughout the world. Do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and affirm the promises of God made to you and your children in his word? And finally, do you promise to instruct this child in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, to pray for him, to teach him to pray, and to train him in Christ's way by your example, through worship, and in the nurture of the church? Congregation of Jesus Christ, please rise.
Do you promise to love, encourage, and support Decker and his family by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service? If so, please respond by saying, "We do, God helping us."
We do, God helping us.
Let us join with the whole baptized Church of God in professing the faith of the church and renewing our own baptismal covenant. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
A congregation, you may be seated.
As we're getting closer to baptism, baptism is something that we want to be understood and seen. So if we have any kids that would like to kind of come forward and sit closer to the front and see better, you can do that. You don't have to. But if you'd like to, we got some room up here in the front, and you can kind of get a better view of what's going on. People of God, the Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, for it is right for us to give our thanks and praise. We give you thanks, O holy and gracious God, for the gift of water. In the beginning of creation, your Spirit moved over the waters. In the waters of the flood, you destroyed evil. You led the children of Israel through the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the River Jordan, John baptized our Lord, and your Spirit anointed him. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ, the living water, forgives us, frees us from sin and death, and opens the way to life everlasting. We thank you, O God, for the gift of baptism. In this water, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death, are raised to share in his resurrection, are being renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and are united to Christ in mission. Let's pray. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, upon Decker, that this water may be a spring gushing up to eternal life. Wash away his sin, raise him to new life, and graft him to the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon him, that he may have wisdom to discern his gifts, strength to obey your will, and joy in answering your call. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Decker Bryan, for you, Jesus came into the world. For you, he died and conquered death. All this he did for you, little one, though you know nothing of it yet. We love because God first loved us. Decker Bryan Worth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Decker Bryan, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. At this time, we're going to pray for Decker and for his family. And I'd like to invite any family members that would like to come forward, and we'll surround Brian and Michonne and Decker and put hands on them and pray. So if anybody wants to come forward, you can do that now. And for the rest of you sitting out in the pews, you can maybe just raise your right hand, and we'll pray for God's blessing upon the Wirth family. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious Lord, look with kindness upon this child. May he ever rejoice in the gift you have given him. Grant him the presence of your Holy Spirit, that he may grow to know you, to love you, and to serve you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church. Amen. Decker is now received into the membership of the Holy Catholic Church, the church throughout all times and places. He's engaged to confess Christ and to be God's faithful servant until life's end. So friends and family, you guys can go back to your seats. Brian, Michonne, if you'll stay right here, we've got a gift for you guys. So to help remember this day, we've got a certificate about baptism. We've got a book to help Decker learn what baptism is as he grows older. And we've also got a children's Bible that someday he'll be ready for. People of God, please rise in body or in spirit. Brothers and sisters, God has gathered us. God has spoken to us through his word. God has confirmed and made his promises visible in baptism. Now he sends us forth once more. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And know that God also sends us forth with his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.